All right, welcome back to this week's episode of Nashville Talks with Taylor Jones, where we're in Nashville and we're talking about stuff that we do or other people do.
Mm-hmm.
It's not my best tagline ever. It's a good try, though.
We're still getting there.
We're still working on a tagline. Hey, while you're sitting over there, maybe we need to create that email, that questions@nashvilletalks.com.
Yeah.
So we're going to make a Gmail account for you guys who have suggestions for such things like taglines and content and guests and whatnot. Hey, you can book this show. If you think somebody should be on it, then it will do me a lot better if you ask them to be on it instead of me. It helps me out a lot. Because when I call, it's like, hey, Taylor wants something. You know? No, I don't really want something, but I kind of do. Kind of need you. So it's always hard for me to ask different people to come on the show because I don't like feeling like I'm just hitting them up for their, you know what I'm saying, their little internet fame or whatever. I'd rather it more seem more like, hey, you know, let me take you out to lunch first, and then we'll do a podcast some other time. So
you didn't take me out to lunch first.
No, you took me out to breakfast, remember? A few months ago.
That's true. That's you also gave me a place to lay my head.
There we go. We traded.
There you go.
We traded a lot of good things. The barter system's alive and well. My guest today is Mr. Michael Tucker from Louisiana.
Hey.
What part of Louisiana are you from, Mike?
I'm from Mandeville. It's a small town 30 minutes north of New Orleans, but I spend most of my time right now in New Orleans.
Okay. See, I didn't even know that. Why was I thinking about Baton Rouge? You drove into Baton Rouge.
I was in Baton Rouge.
Okay.
Yeah, but now I'm living in Mandeville.
Okay, cool. Cool. And we were down there. I was there a few months ago and on the thing with Sadie and called Mike up on a Sunday morning. I was like, hey, brother, what are you doing? He was like, not much. What are you doing? And I was like, I think I'm in your part of the country. So Mike was nice enough to come pick me up from the hotel. I had been, you know, doing my overnighters, not seeing a whole lot of anybody that was awake for about a month. Yeah. So it was very nice to see a familiar face and to get to go and have a meal where I didn't have to eat it by myself. And we even went to church, which I, you know, got to go to church in the middle of a run, which is nice. And hadn't been in a couple weeks, so it was very refreshing and exactly what the doctor ordered on that particular day. Mm-hmm. So many thanks, kind sir.
Of course.
I hope that we're returning a favor here in Nashville. Mike decided to make a last minute one of those decisions. So, hey, I'm coming to Nashville. I said, all right, bring it.
Yep. And I brought it.
He brought it. he brought me an iPhone too. We made the old traded the old iPhone for the night, couple nights here at the house too. That's been a blessing as well, Mike. Thank you. So Michael's a photographer and among other things, but that's mostly what I know you for other than being a brother. And so if you want to check out his stuff, his Instagram is Michael Tucker spelled out with no vowels. So
that's right.
If you can handle that, just take all the vowels out, man.
No vowels.
And that's Mike. He's on the Instagram. He's one of the OGs of Instagram. Were you on it from like day one or what? How did
Not day one, but I mean, I don't know how many people are on Instagram now. Probably a lot, you know, millions. But I was in like the first 200 or 300,000. So.
When it was iPhone only.
It was early. It was real early.
How'd you get wind of it, man? Because like it took me like years to actually, you know what I mean?
I honestly don't know. I think maybe I was just searching the App Store one day and found the new photo app, and that was like around the same time that I was getting interested in photography. So jumped on it and started posting and used all the bad filters and
just learned.
And here
from
we
there.
Are, and now I'm a photographer.
Now I'm a professional. So you went from surfing the App Store to. Wow, I just found my career kind of thing. Like, that is crazy.
Kind of, sort of, yeah. I started photography in high school, but the iPhone kind of, like, made that progression a little bit more quick and easy and natural because it was just something I had on my person at all times. So
I got you. So let me ask you this, because I've heard you quoted as saying is, like, because, you know, other people complain about cameras on this and that on the phones. And then you told me one day, you're like, bro, a great photographer can make a great photo on the iPhone 1.
Yeah, so for sure you can have a nothing camera.
Tell me about that, because that sort of blows my mind, because I'm the ultimate novice here, okay? Like, I take pictures of my dog, okay, and my drums. I'm that guy, okay?
Yeah.
But, right. like, tell me, like, the art of... Because what I think, when I watch guys like you and Colin and other guys that are really good at this, it seems to me like you guys have a vision for stuff before you ever take the picture. It's like you're able to just... see the potential for such a great picture before you even take it. Like, what goes into that, and how, like, getting out of, like, cameras doesn't really matter. Like you said, a crap camera and you can still take a great photo. How do you do that, man?
First of all, I think from the beginning of my photography journey, it's been like something that's come really natural to me. And without really knowing it very well, I was always like a very visual person and interpreted things visually, and like visual things made me feel things. So when I started to take pictures, it was kind of like this thing where I'm just like looking for things that make me feel a certain way or make me feel something, and just taking a picture of that. And all the technique and kind of seeing things from different angles, that like progresses along the way, and you come to learn that kind of stuff with like just trying stuff. But it kind of all starts with like a feeling, which is, I think, a common thing in art. You're trying to portray a feeling. So photography in that way, that's basically what I'm trying to do with photography, and that's why it doesn't matter what camera I'm using, is because as long as it's just an image, it can make me feel something and hopefully make someone else feel something too. So
cool, man. Cause like, that is a real, like, as a novice and a person who just, I feel like there's a lot of people who maybe feel this way about music or whatever, like music affects them differently because they don't work in it or whatever. Mm-hmm. That's how I feel about photography. Like, I do see some great photos. I'm like, wow, like this, the type of thing that just makes you just stop and just, cause you know, like in Instagram, you're constantly just whatever, scrolling through, at least I am. It's like, what makes you slow down and stop and just look at it? Yeah. And like you said, there's feelings that come along with, like, it's hard to imagine that an image can make you feel something, you know, but it does.
Yeah.
I find that to be really interesting.
Yeah.
Really crazy. So, so you said you picked up photography in high school. How'd that happen?
You just mentioned Colin. Colin was my original, kind of inspiration, and way into photography. He was shooting a lot of film. I didn't know him that well. I always thought he was a lot older than me, because he was like a full grown man at like age 16. He was just taking lots of cool pictures, and I wanted to be a part of that. So I started chatting to him about it, and he kind of just convinced me to get on eBay and buy a cheap film camera. So I did, and we started and started hanging out and just going places locally to shoot photos. And so I probably shot about 6 or 7 rolls of film, and kind of took a step back from it for a little while, and then got back into it with the iPhone, and then eventually got a digital camera. And ever since then, that's been basically what I knew I wanted to do. But yeah, it was Colin, and it was just little trips around town, taking pictures of nothing, taking pictures of each other, which is still something I do all the time, is just take pictures of my friends. And that's one of my, the funnest, is that right?
Most fun.
But who's one counting most here? Not us, trust me. We're not the grammar grammar school graduates here. We're Glencliff kids.
I know. I pride myself on saying the right words, and now I just said funnest, so I guess I should stop priding myself on saying the right words.
Hey man, he's a lion of pride. There you go.
We're all human, we make mistakes. be all right.
I know, but I'm on a podcast now. I have to say the right words.
Now it's documented forever, and you'll never be able to get out of it. This is on the record, people. So I think, like, when I think about you and Colin and y'all's photography style, like, it's hard. I can't avoid, like, the beautiful country that y'all come from. You know what I mean? Like, that seems to be really highlighted in your work. Just the... You've done a great job, in other words, to paint a picture of that that beautiful part, that beautiful state, Louisiana. Mm-hmm. Like, you have all the great, like, pictures of the lake and, you know, old buildings and stuff in French Quarter and New Orleans, yeah, and all this. It's like, how much of an inspiration is a city like New Orleans for you as a photographer?
Man, New Orleans, I mean, anybody that knows me basically knows how much I love New Orleans. My favorite city, always will be. It's an inspiration for photography, absolutely, but just, like, even more than that, just as, like, a person, as, like, me as an individual. What I really admire about the city is that it's just, it's unashamedly itself and always has been and always will be. Doesn't put up any walls with, and, you know, people do that, and I don't want to do that. I do that, but I think New Orleans is really just uniquely genuine, and to see that in a city and to be able to go to that city, you know, every other day and live in that is just really, I don't know, it's just important to me. And I'd like it to influence the way that I live. And of course, not to, you know, not to mention that there's great food, there's great architecture, there's, you know, it's a beautiful city full of beautiful people. And yeah, it, but speaking to how it influences my photography, I think in the same way that I hope that it influences me as a person, it influences my photography, that it's just real. It's what I, it's what I'm seeing in the moment. It's, you know, raw. It is full of feeling, you know, it's joyful. It's, you know, it's Mardi Gras. It's like the darkness of the city. It's all the great parts about the city. It's all of it, you know, as it is. So, yeah.
I'd imagine it kind of comes back to the same feeling that you get, when you're trying to write a song. You kind of have that place that has the vibe that, where you just kind of feel inspired most of the time. You don't necessarily get a song out of every conversation you have, but in conversation, you pick up little one-liners like, oh, I'm going to use that in a song. I'd imagine it's the same thing. You're walking through the streets of New Orleans and you kind of catch something that inspires you to take a photo in this way, that sort of thing.
Anybody that walks with me through New Orleans knows how much of a pain in the butt I can be, because I'll just be walking, you know, down one block, and I'll probably take five photos on my phone, just because there's like a million things that inspire me, whether that is the architecture, the light, a car, or whatever. But yeah, it's like those, it's also those little things, like, and the little, like, sound bites that are, accompany those photos that I take, that inspire where I go next on, you know, where I go on my next photo adventure, or what I want the next set of photos to look like, or, you know, colors can inspire me to create a, like, new photo set that's like based on, like, the inspiration of the last few photos I took, or it's just all this, like, natural, like, progression of images, like, kind of flowing one into the other.
Sure. So when you are going about getting essentially jobs or developing your next photo set and such, of course, generally, I'm assuming if you work with a musical artist, for instance, they're going to have at least some idea of what they want to do, or they'll kind of throw kind of everything they are at you and let you decide where to go. with their photo set. But in the other side of it, where it is, it's just you doing your thing. You want to go out and create a photo set just for you. Where do you begin that process? And how far do you go, even out of state, that sort of thing?
I mean, most of my work has been in state, so I don't really stray too far from that. But I mean, honestly, just in my day-to-day, I walk and drive to a lot of different places and find locations and like kind of scout on the go instead of like going out on purposeful scout trips. I'm just scouting as I'm traveling from one place to another. So when a band approaches me and wants pictures, or when I am going to take pictures for a particular business, I kind of have a database of locations and textures and colors in my mind, around the city and around the state that I can pick from and choose to fit a particular shoot.
Gotcha.
So what kind of work are you doing now, man? Like, 'cause I have no idea how the photography business works, but like what's like a day in the life for you on the job, man?
Yeah. So, every day is different, but a lot of the times it's either a day of emails, a day of scheduling shoots, or a day of shoots. The emails and the scheduling isn't really exciting, so I'm not going to talk about that. But, yeah, like a day of making images. Usually I'm making images for social media for small businesses, because that's so needed these days. Just giving businesses like fresh content. But yeah, I've been doing a lot of work for some restaurants. Every once in a while I'll work with a musician or a band. Small like retail like clothing stuff is something I do often. And there's a particular store in New Orleans called the Fin New Orleans, and actually we're in Penn right now, D&O. But I do a lot of work for them, especially recently, creating content for their social media and their blog online, and that's been fun because we do a lot of collaborations with like local artists and local businesses that have kind of the same like mindset and heart that Defend New Orleans does, just like preserving the culture of the city and just different like subcultures and stuff like that. So that's been really fun to work with them and just explore that working relationship. And yeah.
So tell me about, like, I don't know how to avoid this, but like, tell me about Katrina, man. Like, because I've never talked to anybody from down there of, like, what was your experience like when that happened? How old were you? And, like, what kind of an impact did it make on you?
Yeah, so I was only 13 when Katrina happened. I mean, I remember the time vividly, obviously. But, yeah, I actually spent the first 5 years. I was born in New Orleans, but spent the first 5 years of my life in Memphis. And so we had friends in Memphis, and we evacuated to Memphis during Katrina. And I spent about a month there, and I was 13, so my dad went back probably like a week after the storm, or maybe even, yeah, about a week after the storm. And he didn't take any of us with him because we were just too young, basically. And so I didn't really get to see much of like the raw aftermath of Katrina. But I remember after being out of school for a month, we finally went home. My dad like had a beard, which he's never had a beard in his life. And we were all like, ugh, gross. We were like, you know, just kids like grossed out because our dad had a beard and he's never had a beard before. But they had been like, him and his brothers had been staying at our house, no air conditioning, and just been like working on like our family's houses back in Metairie, which is a suburb of New Orleans. And So New Orleans obviously was really bad, a lot of flooding. But where we lived, it was a lot of trees down on houses, and tons of trees down on houses because there's just lots of trees in Mandeville. But we were lucky enough that we were on this side of the street that didn't have as many trees. So it was like the other side of the street, all of them got trees in their houses. Our side of the street, nobody got trees in their houses. Wow. So got really lucky there. But of course, as a 13-year-old, I wouldn't have really felt much of the repercussions because I was just a kid. But
yeah, that was just such a, like, I don't know. I remember it because, I mean, you and me would have been like 16 or 17. And
yeah.
You know, I just remember watching it on TV and just having no comprehension of what a flood, like, smelled like or looked like or whatever. Yeah. And like, then we had one here a few years later, and it was like, this is so gross. Yeah. You know, like, I had no idea how gross a flood was. Yeah. You know, we had a pretty good one.
Not nearly as bad, obviously, but it was very damaging.
Yeah, and it's just like, the thing that didn't translate on TV was how freaking stanky it was.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I've heard tons of that. Obviously, I didn't experience a lot of it myself, and I kind of wish I did, but I was up in Memphis. But it was bizarre seeing all of that on TV, and just feeling like so distant from it, but knowing that that was like my home and not being able to be there, it definitely felt weird. I did not like watching that on TV.
Did you have to go to a school in Memphis or just take time off?
No, we almost did, but I guess my parents decided against it. So
probably
I got
better off, man.
Yeah, I got a month vacation. I mean, I had fun.
Yeah, I mean, you're freaking, you know, going through your place is all crazy, and like, that's the least of, you know, starting a school in the middle of it. I'd have been traumatized.
Yeah.
But so getting back, ringing it back into the photography discussion, the Instagram discussion. So tell me about, like, because like, it's weird, like, but I've been following you on Instagram for longer than I've known you, which is kind of crazy. But like, I don't know, when you first start off, you know, I had like Jody and Ryan, they were like, here's some cool people you need to follow. Yeah. And so they named off like whatever, 20 people. And you were one of those 20 people. So this is probably a couple of years before I ever met you.
Yeah.
So, and how you and I met was, as far as I remember it, was I had told Colin after we got this house that, hey man, if ever any of your friends or whatever need a place to flop, like, feel free to pass our number along.
Yeah.
You know? Because I knew that he had people coming in and out all the time, and he had told me some stories about, you know, so-and-so coming into town or whatever and staying on somebody's floor. And I was like, oh, bro, like, for real, if that ever happens again, like, send him our way. 2 weeks later, he sends me your number. He's like, yo, you cool to put Tucker up for a little while? And I was like, yeah. And so... Cause I'm like, in my back of my mind, I'm like kind of starstruck a little bit. Cause it's weird how social media is, and you kind of feel like you get to know somebody without ever meeting them because you're in so much of their life.
Yeah.
So, all right. Stopping right there. So you ended up at my house at the middle of the night or something. And we hung out for like the next week and became, you know, fast friends with my wife and all. We were all just, we had a good time. The heat went out. It was freezing for a day or two. My poor dad had to put a new, unit on the house and everything. So,
man.
But anyway, all that to say, like, how has, because you're one of the top guys on Instagram from what I see, how did that following, it's like talking to a band, like, how did your sort of audience start to grow? When did you start to really see that thing moving?
Man, the growth started like probably 2011, 2012. And it was all like organic, and the Instagram community was like really thriving back then. So, it was just like a matter of, like, you know, going and taking pictures with friends, and other friends would see it. And it was just growing naturally. And I mean, apart from the fact that you had to be taking good pictures to be growing, there wasn't much to it other than like going around with friends, hanging out, taking pictures. And you know, it caught on and people started following me, and probably about 8,000, 9,000 followers down the road is when Instagram put me on their suggested user list, which is this infamous list where you get 20,000, 30,000 followers pretty much within a couple of weeks. And, the majority of them aren't real and, some stick around. And so that happened, got up to 30,000 followers and, grew organically for a little bit again, and then got another bump from a suggested user list. And I don't know if they're still doing that list anymore, just because it gives you so many ghost followers, as they're called. But it definitely gave my numbers a huge boost. And some of it was real. A lot of the numbers were just accounts where people got on and never got back on the app, or it was just computer accounts, spam, whatever.
Right.
So the number isn't accurate, but there obviously has been real growth and opportunities arise from that. So it's been cool.
Well, I can't imagine having that many people looking at what I do, even if it's half that many, so it's pretty sweet. Pretty sweet. So, let's talk about if you have any advice, what advice would you give either a beginner or a novice photographer from how to approach, taking pictures?
So this is something that I think you'll hear from most photographers, but I really do think that the best advice is just to take a lot of pictures, obviously you would tell a musician, just practice a lot, practice a ton, listen to a lot of the stuff that you love and practice a ton. And, it's pretty much the same on this side of the aisle. Just take a lot of pictures, more than you feel like taking, and, follow along with the photography that you really enjoy and inspires you, and try to mimic it and put your own spin on it, and just mainly take a lot of pictures, because that's the only way I got good, is just by taking tons and tons of pictures. I'm sure there's better advice out there than just take a bunch of pictures. But that has been the most productive way for me personally to get better. Even now, if I'm not feeling like a great photographer, if I'm not, feeling like I'm doing my best work, I just have to start taking more pictures, because there's just an evolution that happens when you're creating. The inspiration comes when you're making, not when you're just sitting around waiting on it, So, yeah, just take a lot of photos.
Take a lot and look at a lot. Mm-hmm. So what's your, okay, and this is me getting into territory I probably don't know nothing about, but what's your editing routine? How much do you edit, or how much do you, just try to leave it as much as possible as how it was? Or, what's your approach to that?
My editing routine is pretty simple. If I'm using big boy cameras, I take the photos into Lightroom and I edit with tweaked presets. And on my phone, I use the VSCO app and just press a couple of buttons. And
you said that was called VSCO?
Yeah.
Okay. Hadn't heard of that one yet.
Yeah, it's VSCO. It's a pretty standard app for iPhone photographers, but I try to keep the images simple. I mean there's certain tones that I like that I use consistently, and most of my images and whatnot is moody is a style that I identify with, but I try to keep it simple. And the longer I'm in this, the more I want to not touch the image too much, and just stay closer to what it was originally, and try to perfect the art of making the image instead of post-processing.
You know what's really funny? This is sounding so much like the same approach that you take to music creation.
Yeah.
It's all about creating the best product up front before it ever hits the tape or the film or whatever. And kind of go back to what you said at the beginning about taking a photo on a crappy camera versus a really good one. A lot of times the feel and everything, it's all based off of what you're taking the picture of. It doesn't necessarily matter as much the quality of the capturing device if the art is there.
Yeah.
And so, but even as you're talking about, your goal is to get a great product up front and essentially keep it as real as possible.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
color it a little bit, but you want it to still be what it was when you got it.
Yeah. It's all about like making an image that makes somebody feel something. So doing something after the fact isn't going to really do much to accomplish that goal. But I mean, the things that make people feel something, you can just snap a picture of that. Like I could take a disposable camera out into the front yard in the summer and like, you know, watch a neighbor jump through a sprinkler and take a picture of it on a disposable camera, and that'd make somebody feel something because that's a real like memory that people can identify with. So it's not about what you do after the fact and so much more about the image and what you're trying to convey with that.
So who are some of your favorite photographers, man?
Man, I'm so bad at this.
Or favorite Instagram accounts that you like to follow for inspiration, and or just because they're awesome.
Or favorite music. We can get off of this.
Yeah, we don't have to stay on photography the whole time.
You know, that's a good idea because, I mean, I like photography, but most of my inspiration doesn't come from photography. It comes from music or walks outside or, little... what has been inspiring me a lot lately is like just little ordinary everyday sounds. So I was at the park the other day and I actually posted a video of this on my like smaller Instagram account, my like personal Instagram account. I posted a video of this family at a swing set that like it was foggy at the lakefront, and it was just this kid swinging, saying, "Mom, push me, Mom, push me." And you could hear the, like, you know, the chains of the swing, like, you know, going back and forth and him saying that and, like, just the sounds, like, small sounds of water and, like, adults talking and just, like, feet on the grass and just, like, little things like that. That inspires me entirely more than like looking at other people's photography. There's been like this whole thing in my life lately where I'm just like trying to get back to the basics, get back to like the root of things kind of. So I've been playing a lot with primary colors, which is very like a childhood like sensory kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And just like listening to those sounds, and I really want to explore like how to portray those little tiny like everyday things in photos, which I haven't done much of lately, or haven't done much of yet. But yeah, those are the things that have been inspiring me lately. Music, man, have you heard of this band called Pine Grove?
I heard the name, but I haven't stopped listening to the records.
I cannot stop listening to Pine Grove. It's just like, it's like pop, punk, indie rock. They have this song called Angelina, which I like play on repeat all the time. But them, listen a lot of Copeland. Been listening to the new Bonobo album. He's a DJ. I don't know if y'all listen to him.
Mm-mm.
But he's really good. And I don't listen to a lot of electronic music at all. Maybe like a few albums here and there, but He has a way of like, portraying feelings through music that I don't hear a lot in electronic music. I listen to a lot of that.
So one of the things, especially when I'm looking at actors or musical artists, that sort of thing, mm-hmm. what I like to see from them is obviously music is their passion and their hobby, as well as for the actors, it's the acting and being in theater and things of that nature. But one of my favorite things to find out about them is if that, once all that is stripped away, what else is left? Like, what do they like to do? Like, I'm drawing a blank on his name right now, but one of my favorite artists, he goes golfing all the time. Like, that's his big off-camera thing. He loves to golf and do outdoor stuff. So, like, what's kind of your, apart from walking down the street and just taking photos with your friends, what else do you do?
That's something I'm trying to figure out right now. Because, you know, back in the day, like, probably through high school, through the end of, or the beginning of college, like my off time was spent either just hanging out with friends or playing a lot of sports, like just for fun. And sports was like a huge part of my life growing up. But now, sports is still big. I watch a lot of sports, like you. Sports are probably my favorite thing. I like sports more than art.
Okay.
You play football Saturday morning with me?
Possibly.
Come on. Book it.
Sports, just eating meals with friends is, like, one of the most enjoyable things for me.
Yes.
I mean, what's better than that, honestly?
Amen. That's my problem.
Yes. But on the sports deal, so was there one, you said you used to play a lot back in school and such. What was there one in particular that always drew you to it?
So I stopped playing like organizational, like officially playing sports, like when I was like 13, 14. Mm-hmm. I was just like done with like the scheduling part of it. I wanted to hang out with friends more and stuff.
Sure.
But I wasn't involved in baseball for a long time, and swimming, which I didn't like so much, but I was in it. I played football on Saturdays, you know, Friday, Saturdays, football with friends. Football has always been like the number one, like enjoyable to play and watch for me.
And that would have been the one when you were a kid, you go to the backyard with a bunch of friends, play football.
Yeah. Okay. Absolutely. Every time. Yeah. I was better at football.
Man, I swear. Come on. Bro, I'm obsessed. We play every Saturday morning, and then I'm in and out of the flag leagues in town, like, on Tuesdays. And
yeah.
It's crazy how and we talked about this with Trey a little bit, but, like, how committed these rec football players are, some of them. You know, like, they play 4 or 5 days a week at different leagues on different teams. And I'm just like, no wonder you guys are, like, placing second in nationals. It's like, this is what you do, man. Like, I don't know. It's so much fun and competition. I don't know. Just the whole thing is just nice and juicy. Yeah. But I find that interesting because, like, you know, you strike me as a guy who, like, sees the world from a real, like, right brain side of things. Like, you really absorb your surroundings and kind of introverted and all that. But, like, and in the same thing and in a lot of my circles with music, it's like nobody cares about sports around me.
I know. That's one of the most annoying things about being artistic is like you make friends with all these people and they don't give a crap about sports.
None.
What's your problem, man?
Yeah, it's like you'll get some booking. It's like in a big time playoff game, and I'm like, no, you kidding me? Like, why are you even calling me for that?
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Or like somebody's having a birthday party on the same night as an LSU game, and I'm like,
Can't help it. You're born. Yeah. You're born. I'm glad of it.
Or weddings on the same night as LSU games.
Yeah,
that's the worst. I'm like, where do you think you live?
You're on your phone on a slide, and you're like, who's gonna come to this wedding? You know what I mean? Like, I got a call for a birthday party on Sunday, like during a Steelers game. I'm like, are you serious? It's the NFC Championship game. They only got but 3 football games left in the whole year. And you think I'm gonna miss one of them? Yeah. No, I will not be missing one of them.
Yeah. I mean, football, like, the artistic thing and, like, making things is great, but it's like really emotionally like taxing sometimes, and you get really caught up in the thought of it all and the feelings of it all. And I just love how sports is just like an escape in that way.
Yeah. Did you have anything like besides sports? Cause like when you were growing up, that for some reason was like, not like an unhealthy escape, but like something that you just got it. Like a lot of people like Star Wars is their thing, you know? Mm-hmm. And other people, it is, you know, football or basketball or whatever.
Right.
You know, nowadays I think it's like jiu-jitsu and all that stuff's really coming around as far as like mixed martial arts and all that. It's going to be that way for kids. You know, I like wrestling. A lot of people like different things, but like, did you have anything like that that was like your thing as a kid? That was kind of like your deal. Like, not unless an escape, but just a place that you could go just relax.
No, not really. a lot of my friends played a lot of video games.
Mm-hmm.
But I never really enjoyed playing video games. There was maybe like one summer where I played a lot of video games. But most of the time I'd be with my friends and just watching them play video games. But like most of my time as a kid, I was outside. And I mean, we had like bayous and woods behind our house, and
awesome.
That's where me and my few friends spent all of our time, just out there, like making forts, like shooting airsoft guns, just like fooling around, like going down the bayous in canoes, building bridges over the bayous.
That's
and
awesome.
That's basically all I did.
Riding four wheelers.
I was never like a four wheeler person.
Never had none of those back in here?
No.
See, like when we went down there to Callie and Phoebe's place, that's all they wanted to do. Was get on four wheelers,
yeah,
and go through like you said the swamps and the bayous, mm-hmm. and everything, and gators. Like what? How do y'all deal with the gators down there? Are there gators down there?
Yeah.
So it's like a dog to y'all, like a gator,
nah.
Or a deer. Like instead,
far.
I hit a deer. I know I hit a gator. What?
Nah. I mean, they stay in the water mostly.
They're like dinosaurs, like walking around. You know.
It's funny. I mean, they're there,
yeah.
But. You don't really.
If I see a gator, I'm on high alert.
Uh-huh.
I know exactly where he is every second.
At least I hope I do.
Yeah. I remember one of my friends was in Florida, and he was walking down the beach, and this gator popped out of the bushes, and he thought it was a dog. And he goes, dang, it's a big dog. He had to look at it. That's a gator. I don't know, man. I ain't never. Every time I see one, I'm like, there's a gator over there. Like, you'll be driving through, and you'll see one in one of those ponds on the side, mm-hmm. of the interstate, you know?
Yeah.
I'm like, what the heck? And nobody over there even worried about it, you know?
No, that's not. We never worried about gators growing up. We worried about the water moccasins.
Oh, for real, though. Yeah. Those things are horrible.
They were everywhere around the bayou, and you had to watch out for them.
See, we got those down here as well. Like, that's why I don't go down there to the creek. It's right down by the street from my house.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going down there, get bit.
I mean, we used to swim. We used to, like, not swim, but, like, walk through those bayous. But you had to watch out.
For real.
They were there.
Man, I know. And those things attack your nervous system. They'll mess you with you, bro.
Oh, yeah. I was on a canoe trip with my family once.
No.
This was great.
great.
Big rainstorm and everything. At one point, it was thundering and lightning so bad, my dad said, let's get out of the water, go stand on the side. And I'm like, Dad, we're standing in a puddle. I mean, we might as well be on the water. Who cares? So try to finish this trip out. And almost to the end, it's me and my mom in the canoe. I'm in the back. This snake, I'm assuming water moccasin. I don't know what other kind of snake swims. But this thing came down. We saw it come off the bank, swim up towards our canoe, start coming up out of the water. It was one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
He would have been shot at and most likely hit. Because, like, dude, I would not go down to the creek without a gun with those suckers around because they're getting blasted.
Yeah, we're trying to, like, hit it with the paddle. Like, I'm pretty sure that thing wanted in,
yeah.
in the canoe.
They're aggressive, too, aren't they?
I mean, normally when I was stepping around, they just slither away.
Man.
But, man. Yeah.
We had at least
have to be aware.
Yeah.
Man, we had this one raise out of the water and hiss at us one time down there at the creek. Mm-mm. Trying to fish. I was like, fishing trip over. We're done. They're hissing at the water. Come out the water hissing, bro. That's my exit cue. Man, I was watching some Phil Robertson videos, and his dog got bit by one right in the chest. And that thing was raw all up in here, you know? I'm like, he said, now you see why I shoot them things? You know? He said, look at what they did to my dog. He hates them things,
man.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
But, well, I guess, what's next for us, man? What's next for you, Mike? What's your next job, your next undertaking? You're going to hang out in Nashville for the weekend with me.
Yeah.
Try to eat some food. You know what I'm saying? We'll do something like that. And
yeah.
And then what?
I mean, next week I'm sure I got some shoots coming up. I think so. I mean, my birthday's in 10 days.
There
That's
you
cool.
go.
Okay.
11 days. So I got that. But other than that, just trying to get another trip planned. I'd really like to go out of the country this year, probably to Europe.
Okay.
Any particular part?
I really want to go to Paris. I really want to go to travel all over Italy. Those are like top of my list right now. So
I just did that trip 2 or 3 years ago now.
Yeah.
We did Paris, and I think from Paris we went to Florence, and then down, which is a little more northern. Then we did Rome, which is mid, and then Naples, which is almost all the way at the end.
Yeah.
So we got to see Pompeii and everything. And
yeah.
So it's a good trip.
Yeah.
I'd highly recommend it.
I've wanted to go over to France for a long time. I took like French in like junior high and high school, so I learned enough about it to become really interested.
I would say when you're there, try to plan some time to get out of the city.
Yeah,
because I felt like me and my friends that went there, we were kind of stuck in the culture of, well, the tourism type culture.
Right.
And we had a lot planned on that trip. We were there for 3 weeks, hit a bunch of different cities. But
yeah.
I think if we had gotten outside, seen more of the countryside, we would have enjoyed ourselves just a little bit more.
Yeah.
For the French experience, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. When I travel, I try to like be away from the hustle and bustle of tourism. I want to see the French countryside for sure. Ideally, like, to have, like, a vehicle while I'm there would be great, but we'll see.
Yeah, I think the hardest part about Paris was finding food.
Yeah?
What'd you eat while you were there?
Not much. I'm pretty sure I lost 20 pounds in Paris.
How do you figure that? Seems like a real, like, you know, foodie type place.
Well, it is, but... So it's hard to kind of figure out what you can eat that's going to actually be appealing as an American, I guess.
Okay.
They had a lot of American type places.
Okay.
Around, it's like we didn't really want that. We want more of the legit experience. But then the legit experience, you had no idea what you were ordering, so we kind of fell in that middle ground. But even straight off the train, getting there, we're trying to find food. We're all starving. And up and down the place where our Airbnb was, there was nothing. Finally found a little bakery, and that's pretty much all I had was, like, pastries and breads and stuff. But they had one little sandwich, and we're like, is that chicken? And so we're, like, doing the, can I eat this? but, I mean, you'll figure it out. But
yeah.
One of the things we did was we just went down to the local market and got, like, a rotisserie chicken and went down to the next door, got some salad stuff. And,
wow.
I mean, it was pretty legit, but...
He had to piece it together.
Coffee, of course, there was amazing, but that's where I'm saying, I think if you get further outside, like away from the Eiffel Tower and everything, you'll start finding little bistros and things that are a little more genuine.
Yeah.
I got you. Well, Mike, I appreciate you coming on and talking about what you do, talking about some of your experiences with us here on the old Nashville Talks podcast.
Yeah, it's been fun. It's the first time on the podcast.
Bro, well, hopefully this ain't the last. Hopefully I didn't bury you in some kind of way. By association. Oh, don't call him no more. He was on that guy's podcast.
Oh boy.
No, we try to have a good time, and I learned something today. I hope that any of you guys listen and learn something today. Go check out Michael's Instagram. Like I said, spell out his name.
Spell it out.
Yeah, do it.
With no vowels.
MCHLTCKR.
Boom. There it is. We don't need no vowels. We don't need no stinking vowels. Out of here. So go check him out. Hit the follow button and check out his beautiful artwork on there and get to know him best you can through the internet and follow up with his life. And I guess this wraps up another episode, another week. We appreciate you guys. We got an email address coming for your questions and your suggestions and your potential advertising inquirements or whatever. It's going to be questions@NashvilleTalks@gmail.com.
And then we'll also figure out a way for you to live text us or something, some way to message us during these live Instagram things.
We'll figure this out. We're kind of walking around, you know, the blind leading the blind right now, but you know what they say. Even blind chicken finds corn every now and then.
Yeah, they say that.
So we'll get it right. We're working on it one step at a time. 2017 has been awesome so far. Mm-hmm. I hope you guys are off to a good start this year, and we look forward to being with you every Friday for the rest of the year. And absolutely. So not sure who we'll have on next week. We never do know. We just piece this thing together week by week. Occasionally, guys from New Orleans show up to my house and volunteer to do a podcast. Unplanned. So thank you, Mike. Because we had no guests. We didn't know what we were going to do.
Nope.
And when you showed up, I was like, oh, there it is right there.
Boom.
I was like, please let him say yes.
That's why I came here.
There you go. Kayfabe, you came up here to secretly join the podcast team. So we appreciate you.
Oh, man.
Check's in the mail, by the way.
Sweet.
So I guess that's it. For Michael Tucker and Ian Stewart, I'm Taylor Jones. We will see y'all or hear y'all next week.